Thank the Lord for that song, for those who are willing to sing it. Well, we're thankful to be here again this morning. Thankful for how the Lord has been good to us and encouraged us and strengthened us and blessed us to be here today. Before we go any further, we want to bow our heads and speak to Him. Dear Lord, we're thankful for Your blessings to us already this morning, God. You've fed our hearts and our souls, and we thank You for that, dear Jesus. And as we come to this time and we open Your word, we always want to stop and acknowledge, Lord, that this is Your word. Lord, it's not our word, and we're not the ones that know how to bring it the way it should be brought. That must be done by Your Spirit. And we pray by Your Spirit You would, God, direct in all things that are said and done here. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, we've been talking about turning resolutely to Christ. And we might just write that on the board. And so as we think back over the things that the Lord has brought to us, we realize there's a need for us to be determined that we are going after Christ. We get saved and all, and sometimes I've heard it expressed that, well, what's next? Well, what's next is a life of following after Christ, of being determined that that's what my life's going to be and that's what I'm going to do. By the grace of God, by His strength that He gives me, by the understanding He gives me, by the teaching He brings to me, by His Spirit working in my life, that I am going to have my life turned towards Christ. And understanding, last night we talked a little bit about a foundation for that, how that as we learn, there's a foundation that everything fits into, and it should always fit into. And if something's not like what God has given us as our foundation, then that's something we need to be careful of. And realize that's probably not part of the house we should be building. And so I want to encourage us in that, and I want to thank God that He's brought that word to us. And today we want to finish up this thought about turning resolutely to Christ by looking over in Hebrews, the 12th chapter. And, if I could give you a subtitle, and maybe I just will. Maybe we'll just do that. Write this up on the board. And give a subtitle to the message today. You are not alone. That's the burden that the Lord has given us to share with you this morning. I believe when I say that, I feel like the Lord has given us this message because He wants you to hear it. And He wants you to know that you are not alone this morning. That there is a cloud of witnesses that has gone before. And more than that, if there was no witnesses, there's a loving Savior who is alive, who is with you. If you will follow Him, He will walk with you. So let's look at these scriptures here. It says, wherefore, first verse of the 12th chapter of Hebrews, wherefore, seeing we are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses. Well, you are not alone. You know, the devil is going to try to make you feel that way. And if you stop for a minute and you just think, you know how silly that is. It's been 2,000 and something years since Christ walked on this earth. And the devil will try to convince you that you're the first person who's ever believed in Christ, and you're the first person who's ever tried to go this way. As close as he can get you to believe in that, he's going to try to get you there. But don't let him do it. Don't believe him for a moment. You are not alone on this walk. Like I said, because if it weren't for all the witnesses that have gone before you and that are walking with you right now and that will walk with the Lord in years to come, if it wasn't even for them, then there is a Lord who is alive. Therefore, he can walk with you, and he will walk with you on your road. So even if you're somewhere off and you're never able to have a fellowship with anybody else, the Lord will fellowship you. You know, it's been said before that the Lord provides things for us maybe, and when he doesn't provide those things, he fills in the gaps. He will come and he will meet you. When you are walking with him and there's areas in your life where he's seen fit not to fill those gaps. Not to provide for you the earthly things that fill those gaps for us. He will fill in those places for you and he will walk with you. But there is a cloud of witnesses. As we walk this road, there are people, even as we look into the Bible, we realize there were people who hazarded their life because it meant that much to them. They were willing to follow the Lord, whatever the path was that he led them on, wherever he took them through, and whatever the trials were that they faced. And 2,000 years and all the people, don't you know that there's been somebody that's faced a trial that could stand beside you and say, you know, some of us, we come up sometimes and we want to be so careful about this. I try to be careful when somebody's going through something not to come up and say, I know how you feel. But there's times where we do, because we've been through things so similar that we have a greater understanding of what's happening. Do you know somewhere in this cloud of witnesses, there's at least one person that knows what you're walking through, that understands what your trials are, that understands the frustrations that you're dealing with. He knows that thing happened to you and you couldn't believe God let that thing happen to you and now you're in this situation. Don't you know there's somebody that come along and can say, you know what? Same thing. Same kind of thing happened to me, and you know what? He was faithful. He walked with me when I gave it to him, and I just kept my eyes resolutely on the Lord and determined that that's what I'm going to be. That's who I'm going to follow in life, and I'm not looking to the right, and I'm not looking to the left. I'm going to follow the Lord, that the Lord takes care of those things, that he is faithful. There's a cloud of witnesses, and that's why I love how this verse says witnesses. It doesn't just say brethren or sisters in Christ, and that's a wonderful thing, but it makes a deeper point than that because it says witnesses. A witness is someone who has seen something happen and can say, that's what happened. There's a cloud of witnesses that can say, I saw that happen. That happened, and you know what? I saw the Lord be faithful. Saw the Lord be faithful in that thing, and I'm convinced. And I'm thankful for that this morning, that the Lord has provided that for us. And I'm thankful for all those who have gone on that I haven't seen. And for those who I have seen, think about the lives that have been lived in front of you. Think about them for a minute. Think about those who have walked with the Lord. And most of us have seen somebody who loved the Lord all the way to the end. And think about the testimony from their life. The Lord's bringing some to my mind right now as I think about them. And some of them walked to some places in the end where they were in pain. Some of them walked to some places in the end where they couldn't remember who you were. Some of them walked to places where they didn't realize the hopes they had for their family, maybe even for themselves. They walked to some places, I'm thinking young, old, all in between, that I've seen, been blessed to see in my life. And I've seen them love the Lord to the end. And I've seen them go with the Lord. And to have that peace and that blessing in their life in the midst of the trials, the lost hopes, the discouragements you might have seen come their way, that they still had the Lord. And I'd love to name out some names to you, but I'm not sure that's what I should do right now. You think about the ones in your life. And no, it's not easy, but remember the testimony that their lives gave us. Remember the cloud of witnesses that's gathered around. You know, sometimes I was thinking about David. There's over in 1 Samuel, and you might keep your place in Hebrews. We're going to refer back to that scripture throughout our message today, Lord willing. But turn over here to 1 Samuel, the 22nd chapter. So this is where, this is in the process of time here, that this isn't immediately after David left Jonathan. You know, David was in the, had been anointed king and all, and he had come to the castle there, and he was playing for Saul, and it says that Saul loved him as a son at one point. And his heart was knit with Jonathan, and he had some real camaraderie there. He was taken from his family to go there, but then he found some real connections there. But things went south. Saul stopped loving the Lord and stopped serving the Lord, and it had an effect on his life, and it began to put a separation there, to the point that at one point David had to leave. He had to leave what he had left, and he couldn't go back to what he knew. He had to run for his life. And he was off and went to, over there to the Philistines and thing, and then got in some trouble there. And finally comes to this point in the 22nd chapter, and it says, David therefore departed thence and escaped to the cave Adullam. So he's all alone. But here's what starts happening. And when his brethren and all his father's house heard it, they went down thither to him. And everyone that was in distress, and everyone that was in debt, and everyone that was discontented, gathered themselves unto him. And he became captain over them, and there were with him about 400 men. Now, keep that number in your head, because on one hand, you have the blessing. The Lord decided, you know, David's in this cave, he's feeling all alone, and the Lord begins to send him some people. And there are people who are discontented with their lives. Do you know what, that's what we are here today? Praise God. Praise God. The church of God is people who were discontented with the life they had. Discontented with the heavy taxes that Satan puts on our lives. Discontented with being a puppet, like we talked about, and having Satan just move our lives wherever he wanted to move our lives. We didn't want that anymore. We were discontented with it, disconfident, and we were looking for something different. And here we come, and we found Jesus. And we found the Lord. And that's what we are. You know, the Lord has brought a bunch of us together who are not happy with our lives. And sometimes, even though we see the blessing here and we enjoy that, and we also see the small number. So I want you to keep that in mind, because we're going to talk about that. We're going to read one more story, and then I want to talk to you about that number. Okay? Look over here in 1 Kings, the 19th chapter. This is where Elijah has just done something great and incredible on Mount Carmel, and has turned Israel back to the Lord, and even Ahab is amazed. Ahab, who had been looking for him to kill him, all of a sudden has it's just changed Ahab around. But Ahab goes back to talk to Jezebel, and things change. And from that place where it seemed like there was, the whole nation was just in support of Elijah and everything was going good, Elijah's running for his life. All of a sudden, he's running from Jezebel, and he goes to Mount Oreb, and he's in there in the cave, and he looks and waits for the Lord to come. And so then finally, he came thither to a cave and lodged there, and behold, the 9th verse, the word of the Lord came to him and said unto him, what dost thou here, Elijah? And he said, I have been very jealous for the Lord God of hosts, for the children of Israel, and have forsaken For the children of Israel have forsaken thy covenant, thrown down thine altar, slain thy prophets with the sword, and I, even I only am left, and they seek my life to take it away. And so the Lord then sent him out there and sent some things by, and then comes to speak to him again in the 13th verse. And at the end of that, he says, what do you do here, Elijah? And he again repeats his complaint to the Lord. I've done all this, and I'm the only one left, and they seek my life to take it away. And the Lord said, and I love, you know, I love how the Lord deals with us sometimes. I always love it, but this is a little bit almost humorous here. I can just see the Lord going, Elijah, Elijah, Elijah. Elijah, you're not the only one. But he just tells him, he said, go do all these things. And in this 18th verse, he says, yet I have left me 7,000 in Israel, all the knees which have not bowed unto Baal, and every mouth which hath not kissed him. Elijah, turn around and go back. You've still got things I got to do through you. And by the way, you're not the only one left. By the way, Elijah, you're not the only one. By the way, David, there's a lot of other people that aren't happy with this life that want something different. By the way, soul that's here today, you're not the only one. You're not the only one that wants something different, that wants to live for Jesus. You're not the only one left that's being faithful to that. You see this here? David's starting something new. Elijah, discouraged in the midst of his journey. Everybody else has turned away. No, they haven't. You're not the only one left. Get your head up. Turn back. You remember how we talked about hitting the ground and popping right back up, headed in the right direction? Pop back up. You know, we had another child. My wife actually reminded me of this, and I thought it is a good illustration of the difference. All right, so we have the child that whenever something happened and they fell and tripped, it's just like they pop right back up, heading to whatever they were doing. And we had another child that would maybe we'd be walking a trail and they would trip and fall down, and they would just lay there. And pretty soon they'd pick something off the ground and show it to you like that's what they were doing. What was going on the whole time. Well, we loved it, and we loved both the children, and we loved seeing the difference in the personality, but in the sight of the Lord, don't lay there and hold something up like this is what you're supposed to be doing. See, Lord, this is why I'm down. This is why I'm laying on the ground. Get up and keep going. Get up, turn resolutely towards the Lord. You're not the only one. You're not the only one that's hit the ground, all right? Get up and go. And then we look at the numbers, 7,000. Okay, well, there's a lot of people in the land of Israel, and that can seem, I mean, there's 7,000, and that's the other side we get looking at sometimes. Well, there is a group here, but we're so small. We're so small is what we start thinking sometimes. And I want to give you a verse about that too, okay? And that verse is over in Deuteronomy, the 32nd chapter. So the 32nd chapter and the 30th verse says, how should one chase 1,000 and two put 10,000 to flight, except the rock hath sold them and the Lord hath shut them up? So let me say this verse to you just a little different way, because the Lord was making a point to them, but it could be said this way too in talking to us today. If the Lord is your rock and the Lord is the one that's in charge of your life, one of you can put 1,000 to flight, two of you can put 10,000 to flight, and if you follow that math, if you have 400 people, and you think about those 400 against the whole nation of Israel, how many people were there? Let's say there was 1,000,000. They didn't really field armies that large, but let's just say there was 1,000,000. Do you know by continuing that math, 1,000, 10,000, so you're adding a zero every time. So by the time you get to 400, I don't know if I have space up here to write that number on this board, but it's way more than 1,000,000, y'all. It's way more than 1,000,000. Do you know today? Yeah, look at the numbers. There's more in the world maybe who aren't going this way. I don't know. I don't know everybody's heart, but the Lord even tells us that that's kind of how it would be. But do you know that what we have in the Lord is so much greater? It doesn't even compare. Do that math. Go over to the 7,000 that were left there with Elijah. And start putting the numbers behind that. Start putting the zeros. One of them puts 1,000 to flight. Two of them put 10,000. Three of them put 100,000. Four of them put 1,000,000. Five of them put 1,000,000. I'm losing my track. Okay, and I probably got off there somewhere. So anyways, yeah, there you go. 110 million. It just gets bigger and bigger exponentially because of who we're turned towards. It's not because of who we are, but of who we're walking towards and who lives in us. Those numbers, they mean more, and it's not about some physical battle, but it's about the battle with Satan, that we sometimes feel like we need more numbers to win it. We've got more than enough. We've got more than enough because we have the Lord on our side. If we're walking after him, let's turn resolutely. That's where the numbers are enough. That's where whatever it is in my life is enough, because I'm turned towards the Lord and I'm walking towards him. All right? Let's turn back over here in Hebrews, the second chapter. The 12th chapter again. And it says, so great a cloud of witnesses, seeing we are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us. These are the strings. These are the things that we've talked about. The sins and the weights. We specifically mentioned the cell phone, but you guys, you know, what is it that distracts you from the Lord, from following him and from staying focused on him? And remember, it's not always about illumination. It's about not allowing that thing to be put into the devil's hands. Lay aside the weighty part of it, the sin part of it. Lay it aside. Lay those things aside. Have some parameters if that's what you need, or some exclusion if that's whatever you need in your life. He said in one place, whatever you lost would not be worth it. Or is it worth it to cling to it and end up separated eternally from the Lord, from all that is good and happy? So lay aside the strings that so easily beset us. Do you know this word here, beset, means a competitor, thwarting, eraser in every direction? That's what the Greek word means. That's translated as that so easily beset us. Think about it. I didn't know that before. I just realized that actually this morning. God brought that and opened that up to me to see that. And I thought, Lord, that fits right in with the burden that you've given us. It's why we're laying these things aside. We're not laying things aside to do things differently. That's not why we're doing what we're doing. We're laying them aside to do what the Lord sees as necessary in our life, to walk on this path, to not give the devil an inch. Because if he has an inch, that's all he needs to at least throw us off somehow. And the whole time his purpose is working to take back over our lives and to control us, to take us at his own whim, to do whatever he feels like doing in our life. Don't give him that space. Lay those things aside. There's a cloud of witnesses that have done the same thing before you. And there's a cloud of witnesses that are doing the same thing now. And no matter what the numbers seem like, they're plenty. They're plenty. There's plenty enough in your life for you to make it. All right? And so, lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. I love this because this gets pretty close, all right? This word patience means endurance. Well, actually, that's only half of what it means. It actually means cheerful endurance. So you see, the Lord's not just calling you to endure, to walk around with your head down and, well, I hope I make it somehow. The Lord promised me I'd make it. I'm going to keep my eyes on him, and we're going to make it. And there is an element of being deliberate. Instead, like Brother Jared, you mentioned this morning, putting one foot in front of the other sometimes. Not talking about that. I'm talking about the downcast spirit. In the midst of you putting one foot in front of the other, having this spirit that's just, woe is me, woe is me. Lift your eyes up. Look at the highway that you are walking on. This is the heavenly highway. There's not a better place. There are people who've written songs that, I'll be honest, have never sat amongst us and amongst where There's a blessing where the Lord is free. And I don't want to speak too much about that. But there are songs written about no better place on earth. If anybody should be able to proclaim that, it's somebody who, the more truth we know, the more we should be able to proclaim that in life. No better place on earth. Cheerful endurance. So, dear saint, endure. God bless you. And sometimes this is a process. Believe me, this I can tell you, I know. Sometimes it's not about just saying, oh, okay, all right, everything's okay. I can just say it. But it's a process that takes us looking at this verse and saying, Lord, you told me to cheerfully endure. So now there's some work to be done in my life because that's not where I am right now. But it's what you told me to be. And the reason you told me is this is how I'm going to be successful. If I continue to stay in this place and hold something up from the ground to you, I'm not going to be successful. At some point, the devil's going to be able to take over in my life. You told me to cheerfully endure because it's what it takes. So now, Lord, help me. Help me. Let's start doing the work in my life. And you know, I've seen times where, Lord, just lift your spirits and here you go. But I've seen times where it took determination. That's what we're talking about. Lord, I'm resolutely turning towards you. And you said to cheerfully endure. So, Lord, that's what's going to happen. And it's not there yet. I'm not there. Being honest, being humble, I'm not there yet, Lord, but that's what you told me to do. And so my eyes are set on that because they're set on you and what you have spoken to me. And so, Lord, help me work in my life. Help me to see how is it that I can gain the victory over these things and be able to cheerfully endure. And it was mentioned in Sunday school, too, about that being something that comes from within. We still walk through sorrows and things externally, but like it said, we don't sorrow like the world sorrows. We're not supposed to, because we have something that gives us hope, the thing that's greater, something that enables us to cheerfully endure those places. And I want so clearly make sure we understand the difference between someone just pretending to be happy. That's not what we're talking about. But in the midst of my sorrow, having a joy. That I know there's something waiting beyond this, beyond what I'm going through right now. That's why I have joy. It's not necessarily because of this, but because I know there's something waiting beyond it, beyond there. And there's a Lord who reminds me of that, who helps and works inside of me with all the emotions and things that I can't handle and helps me to gain the victory to a point where as I walk through it, I can also keep my eyes ahead and realize that there's something waiting for me. It's worth all that I might go through in this life. Cheerfully enduring. You know, in Nehemiah 8, and once again, we'll come back to this chapter here in Hebrews, so keep your spot there. But in Nehemiah 8, there's a little something we want to pick up there. Nehemiah 8, and we'll start with the first verse here. And all the people gathered themselves together. Well, maybe a little bit of background would be helpful. Basically, this is the people of Israel coming back from Babylon and the kingdom of Israel kind of being set up again, the nation of Israel being set up again there. And so it says, all the people gathered themselves together as one man into the street that was before the water gate. And they spake unto Ezra the scribe to bring the book of the law of Moses, which the Lord had commanded to Israel. Been a long time since something like this has happened, since the Lord's word has been opened in a congregation like this. They've been all scattered through the land of Babylon and all. And Ezra the priest brought the law before the congregation of both of men and women and all that could hear with understanding upon the first day of the seventh month. And he read therein before the street that was before the water gate from the morning until midday before the men and the women and those that could understand, and the ears of all the people were attentive unto the book of the law. Skipping to the eighth verse, so they read in the book in the law of God distinctly and gave the sense and caused them to understand the reading. And Nehemiah and Ezra and the Levites that taught the people said unto all the people, this day is holy unto the Lord your God. Mourn not nor weep, for all the people wept when they heard the words of the law. Then said he said unto them, go your way, eat the fat, drink the sweet, send portions unto them for whom nothing is prepared, for this day is holy unto our Lord. Neither be ye sorry, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. You know, we can easily discount the importance of joy sometimes in our life. When we really set out to please the Lord, we can walk along and try to do all these things. But you know, the Lord had a joy in the midst of you doing those things that are written in the Bible, of you living a righteous and a holy life, of you learning more and more how to please Him and honor Him with your life. The Lord never intended, and He is not okay with it being something that is done without joy. It's not meant to be done that way. You know, as you walk and you learn of the Lord and you grow in Him, there is a joy that comes with that. That if you're not experiencing it, then the devil is stealing something from you. He's got his hands on it somehow in your life, and it is okay to pray to God and say, Lord, I'm struggling. I'm learning of You, but somehow I'm not experiencing the joy that comes with it. Lord, help me to realize Your joy in the midst of this time, because You said in Your Word that the joy of the Lord is my strength. And I can tell you it's true. But you just read it in the Word. And God doesn't lie. All right? The joy of the Lord is your strength. So if you're seeking to serve the Lord and you're looking to be more like Him in all your ways, and you're not realizing that deep-seated joy in your life, not this happy, happy, happy thing that's just kind of, I'm okay with people that. That sounds like I don't want anybody to be happy. I love for people to be happy. I don't mean it that way. But there's happiness is great. But when happiness isn't here, joy still can be. Joy can still be with us, all right? So ask the Lord to help you. That's okay. And that's my point. Sometimes we don't realize the promises. That's a promise right there. That means I can stand up and ask the Lord for that thing in my life. And if I'm willing to allow Him to show me how to have it, then He's going to give it to me. He's wanting me to stand on His Word and ask for those things that are written there. Because that's me demonstrating my faith in who He is and what He's told me. That, Lord, You promised me this thing, and so, Lord, I'm asking You for it. Help me to understand how to do it. How am I going to do that? Not by laying on the ground, but by looking up and resolutely having my mind turned towards Christ. That's the way I'm going in life. All right? And so, the joy of the Lord is your strength. Well, let's turn back over here to Hebrews, the 12th chapter again, one more time. And it says, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. You know, it says in one place that He is the beginning and the end, the Alpha and the Omega. That's wonderful. But you know, there's something special in the fact that He wrote author and finisher here. It means something more than just the beginner. An author is someone who starts a book, right? But he writes every page of it. He's there on every moment, and he's writing a book. And if he doesn't, then somebody else's name goes in that book. But the Lord's the one that's writing this book. He is the author. If you have your eyes turned resolutely towards Him, then you are given the space in your life for the Lord to write your story. Wow. Wow, and I say wow in the midst of all the struggles we have and all the hurts and all the disappointments. Wow, because you know what? He could have just been the beginner, the beginning and the end. He could have just been that and left us to figure out how to handle all these things in between. You know, those things still would have happened to us. There still would have been probably a whole lot more, because the Lord puts His hand up in so many places in our life and protects us. You know what our lives would be like if the Lord just was the beginning and said, one day I'll come back for you, and left all this in between to us. But He said He's the author. That means He's writing your story day by day, if you're allowing Him to. If you're not, then there's somebody else writing your story. It's either going to be Him or the devil writing this story in your life. Because when we're writing our story on our own, separate from God, we're a puppet. And the devil's got the strings. And we can kind of maybe pull a little bit, but pretty much he's making us pull and write in the direction that he wants us to. I don't want that. I don't want what he has to offer in my life. I want the Lord to have his way. I want the Lord to be the author and the finisher. Which tells me that, you know, have you ever I've tried to start writing some books since I was little. I don't mean now, but I just mean there's been. I always thought being an author. I love to read. I thought being an author would be great. I can't think of a single one of those times that I ever finished a book. That probably aren't interesting anyways, but I guarantee you they're not without an ending. You know what our lives would be like if the Lord was just the author? But he says, no, there's a purpose. There's something. There's a plot. The reason there's an end is because there's a plot, and this life, this book accomplishes that purpose, and then at that point we bring the conclusion, and it's done. That's what we have offered to us in Christ. This, when the Lord's asking us to turn resolutely towards him and follow him, this is what he's offering us. He says, look, I'm writing a story, but it's got a plot to it. And there's an ending. I have a purpose. And there's an ending to it that I'm going to write this all. You're going to live this life, and there's going to come a time when it's over. It's time to come home forever and be with the Lord. It's time to come experience the joy, enter in and experience the joys the Lord's saying to us that I've had for you from the beginning of time. Your story's finished. It's done. You've been faithful. It's time to come in and get your reward. Oh, there's a cloud of witnesses that could tell us this morning about the truth of that, but we see it right here and we know it in our hearts. The Lord has promised us these things, and we know he does not lie to us. You know, in 1 Thessalonians, the fourth chapter. Is it okay to think about that for just a minute, that time when our story is ended, when we've been faithful, when we, like the ones we've seen before us who've gone on with a faithful heart and walked on with the Lord, I've gone on to the reward, there'll come a time for us too. It says here in 1 Thessalonians, the fourth chapter, and we'll start with the 13th verse. But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that you sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore comfort ye one another with these words. You know, there was a song that says, to give the things you cannot keep for what you cannot lose. That's the way to find the joy that God has for you. You know, this morning the Lord has something secure. Yeah, if you want to, you can throw it away. You can lay down on the ground and you can let the devil take the strings back up and he can take your life back over. But if you don't want that, it doesn't have to happen. The Lord's giving you something that you can't lose. You can give it away, but you can't lose it, because he has given you something that is secure. Because he will be with you. If you will turn your eyes resolutely to him, determined no matter what happens, even if I do get knocked down, I'm hopping right back up and I'm heading for that goal. The Lord will carry you safe home. He is the author and the finisher. Nobody else is going to come in and decide how this book goes. If you keep your eyes on the Lord, he will finish it and he will take you home to be with him in glory. You pray for me.